Welcome to episode 1373 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. There is a kind of authority that crushes, and there is a kind of authority that cultivates. There is a kind of obedience that shrinks the soul, and there is a kind of obedience that shapes it. In the first four verses of Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul steps into the delicate space between generations and shows us what human flourishing looks like when honor flows in both directions.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
In four verses, Paul offers a vision for families that is both ancient and radically countercultural. And at the heart of it is this truth: honor flows both directions. Authority and tenderness together foster flourishing. Paul does not invent something new here. He reaches back to the fifth commandment: honor your father and your mother. He calls it the first commandment with a promise. That promise, that it may go well with you, is not superstition. It is structure. God embedded intergenerational stability into the fabric of covenant life. When children learn to honor, humility grows. When humility grows, teachability increases. When teachability increases, wisdom multiplies. When wisdom multiplies, life goes well. Paul sees the fifth commandment not as obsolete law, but as living wisdom for the church. Paul begins with children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice the qualifier. Not simply obey. Obey in the Lord. Obedience is not absolute. It is framed by allegiance to Christ. Paul assumes something crucial. Parental authority exists under divine authority. This protects children from tyranny and parents from self-deification. Obedience in the Lord means that children learn trust within a larger trust. They are not obeying because parents are infallible. They are obeying because God has structured family as a place of formation. Obedience in childhood is not about control. It is about formation. Children are not born knowing how to navigate complexity. They are shaped by guidance, correction, and example. Obedience teaches several things: trust in authority that seeks your good, patience with limits, awareness that you are not the center of the universe, capacity to delay gratification. These are the building blocks of maturity. A child who never learns obedience struggles to learn restraint. And restraint is essential for flourishing. In the ancient Roman world, fathers held near absolute authority, the notion of patria potestas. A father could decide whether a newborn lived or died. Children were property. Into that context, Paul writes something stunning.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children.
He addresses fathers directly. He limits their authority. He assumes children possess dignity. This is not merely moral advice. It is social revolution. Paul does not dismantle authority. He transforms it. The phrase "in the Lord" appears again implicitly in verse 4.
Bring them up in the training and instruction, fear and admonition of the Lord.
Parents are not sovereign. They are stewards. Their authority is derivative, not ultimate. They are entrusted with shaping souls who ultimately belong to God. This reframes everything. Authority is not domination. It is responsibility. It is not about asserting control. It is about cultivating character. What does it mean to exasperate? The Greek word carries the sense of provoking to anger, embittering, breaking spirit. Parents exasperate when discipline is harsh without warmth. Expectations are impossible. Correction lacks explanation. Love feels conditional. Control replaces conversation. Paul sees clearly: authority without tenderness breeds resentment, and resentment fractures flourishing. Paul's alternative is powerful. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. Nurture them. The word suggests nourishment, cultivation, patient shaping. Parenting is not about winning. It is about forming, not about asserting power, about shaping hearts. Formation requires consistency. It requires example, requires humility, requires tenderness, and it requires remembering that children are image bearers, not projects. Notice the symmetry. Children obey. Fathers nurture. Authority and tenderness. structure and compassion, expectation and encouragement. When authority is strong but tenderness weak, fear grows. When tenderness is strong but authority weak, confusion grows. Flourishing requires both boundaries and belonging, correction and care, discipline and delight. Paul offers a vision of family where strength and softness coexist. Why does Paul tie this to the fifth commandment's promise? Because intergenerational health determines communal stability. When children grow in secure, structured environments, they develop resilience. When parents exercise authority with gentleness, trust deepens. Trust between generations builds social cohesion. Social cohesion supports communal peace. Peace creates space for flourishing. The promise, that it may go well with you, is communal. Healthy families produce healthy communities. If you are a parent, Paul's words are sobering and hopeful. You hold real authority. Your tone shapes memory. Your patterns shape identity. Your reactions shape security. But your authority is not self-originating. It is under Christ. You are not called to control outcomes. You are called to cultivate faithfulness. Parenting is not about producing perfect children. It is about modeling repentance, humility, and love. If you are young, Paul's words call you into maturity. Obedience is not weakness. It is preparation. You are learning to trust, learning to respect, learning that limits are gifts. Obedience now trains you for wisdom later. It is not about blind compliance. It is about formation. What about adulthood? Obedience shifts into honor. You may no longer live under parental authority, but the posture of respect remains. Honor does not mean agreement. It means dignity. It means refusing contempt. It means recognizing that even flawed parents were instruments of your existence. Honor matures. It does not vanish. This passage can be painful for those whose parents failed them. Paul does not deny the existence of harm, but he reframes authority as accountable. Fathers are warned. Parents are limited. Authority that wounds violates God's design. For those healing from harm, obedience may not be the present call, but honor can still take the form of refusing bitterness to define you. And where reconciliation is possible, grace can rebuild. Ultimately, Paul's vision reflects Christ. Jesus submits to the Father, and the Father delights in the Son. Authority and tenderness. Obedience and love. The Trinity itself models relational flourishing. Families mirror divine design when authority serves love and love strengthens authority. Paul writes to a church, not just nuclear families. The church becomes an intergenerational household. Older believers mentor younger ones. Younger believers honor elders. Leadership nurtures rather than dominates. Communal flourishing depends on this rhythm. The fifth commandment expands beyond biology into covenant community. In a culture suspicious of authority and confused about boundaries, Paul's words feel urgent. We have seen authority abused. We have seen tenderness mistaken for weakness. We have seen generations drift apart. Paul offers neither authoritarianism nor permissiveness. He offers Christ-shaped authority. Firm, gentle, accountable, loving. And where that balance exists, flourishing follows. Honor flows both directions. Children honor through obedience. Parents honor through nurture. Authority and tenderness together foster flourishing. When either collapses, instability follows. When both thrive, peace grows. And peace allows life to go well. Intergenerational flourishing is not accidental. It is cultivated. Through obedience framed by trust. Through authority shaped by tenderness. Through parenting rooted in formation rather than domination. Paul reaffirms the fifth commandment not as relic law, but as living wisdom. Because God cares about families. God cares about generations. God cares about stability. And God knows that flourishing begins when honor flows both directions. Father, teach us to exercise authority with humility and tenderness. Teach us to obey with trust and maturity. Heal where there has been harm. Restore where there has been fracture. May our families reflect your design, where love and structure coexist, where honor flows both ways, and where generations thrive in your grace. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.